Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, May the 15th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a protest over sewage getting into our seas is due to take place on the coast this weekend.
For, I think, the best part of the beginning of the year, so January, February, March, most sea swimmers haven't been able to get into the sea because there's been so many storm overflows and it's not been safe.
The parents of a young boy with Tourette syndrome say there's a severe lack of support groups available.
For children especially, it's so important so they can see other children like them. Tics and Tourette's is, I wouldn't say it's a rare condition, but you don't kind of see people with the condition every day.
And the owner of a popular boutique says she's heartbroken at having to close.
After 30 years, I don't want it to end like this. It's just been too quick and it's just all up and all over the place. So it's just not right, really.
But first, on today's episode, the Canterbury MP has revealed she would consider rejoining the Labour Party if Andy Burnham became leader. The Mayor of Greater Manchester is going to ask to stand in a by-election in a bid to make a return to Westminster. It's thought he could then make a leadership bid against Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, who's been under increasing pressure since last week's local election results. Well, Rosie Duffield has been speaking to our local democracy reporter Dan Essen.
I think it's up to those people in the party whether they want to challenge him now, whether he has the dignity to set out the timetable and recognise how important Fiona Hill is. I think if you look at the polling since 2024, since they won the huge landslide, Keir Starmer's personal polling has been through the floor. And I think that matters. I think it was really reflected in the local elections that just happened. Lots of really good people see. It's really hard-working councillors. And he's got to own that. Instead of saying, I'm disappointed, he's saying, I'm sorry. I recognise that partly that was my fault and I need to do something about it. And I think it is time for a fresh new challenge, yeah.
And so I'd say as an independent, you would be voting in the first round, I imagine. But do you have any particular preference of all the sort of current contenders that are available?
I think it's got to be someone outside London and outside the Westminster bubble, if possible. Having said that, I know Wes Streeted's a strong politician and has a lot of support. At this stage, it feels a bit like anyone but Starmer, to be absolutely honest. It would be lovely to see a strong woman put herself forward. But yeah, I mean, I like the idea. I like what Andy Burnham's done in Manchester. I think he's got some really interesting ideas and he's more from my wing of the party anyway. And then possibly I could rejoin if we do get a kind of leader that I think is taking the party in the right direction.
That's what I was going to ask, actually. Obviously, when you left the Labour Party, a big part of it was about the direction under Keir Starmer. So under a new leadership, for example, under Andy Burnham, you would consider rejoining?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like someone who... I mean, there wasn't even the vaguest mention. We're here talking about our local environment. There wasn't even one mention of the environment yesterday in the King's speech, or wildlife, or biodiversity, or the climate change. And you just think, you've seen loads of the left go towards the Greens. Why on earth wouldn't you think, actually, this is fertile ground for us, literally, and mention it? And he didn't. So I think Starmer hasn't got any vision, and he's not in touch with the public. But if someone said those things, I would be quite keen on thinking about going back.
Meantime, Wes Streeting quit as Health Secretary yesterday. We're still waiting to find out if he's got the numbers to mount a leadership challenge. You can head to the national pages to keep up to date with the very latest on this ever-changing political story today and over the weekend.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories and investigations are continuing after a person was hit by a lorry on the M2. It happened on the coastbound stretch between the junctions for Bluebell Hill and Gillingham at about 3 yesterday afternoon. The motorway was closed for around 4 hours. A Chatham man who racially abused a pub customer and assaulted his own daughter has been banned from drinking alcohol. Paul Martin admitted assault and racially aggravated harassment after being charged over trouble that broke out in July last year. The 40-year-old from Eden Avenue has been issued with a sobriety tag and must do 150 hours of unpaid work. Two off-duty police officers who got involved in a fight in a park in Folkestone have been cleared of gross misconduct. PCs Morse and Swainston have appeared before a panel after violence broke out in the Memorial Gardens in September 2023. A tribunal ruled that allegations they'd used unlawful force were not proven following a review of CCTV footage. A rabbi has reassured parents in part of Kent that their children will be safe during a school trip to a synagogue. Some mums and dads with pupils at Reculver Church of England Primary had raised concerns about the visit to Ramsgate following recent anti-Semitic attacks in other parts of the country, where the Jewish leader has said denying children the opportunity to visit a synagogue and meet the rabbi is to give anti-Semites what they want. Now, there's going to be a protest in Folkestone this weekend over the amount of sewage that's still ending up in our seas and waterways. It says no swim warnings remain in force at nearby Dymchurch and Littlestone beaches because the water quality there is so bad. Campaigner Michelle Sheldon lives in Folkestone and regularly swims in the sea. She's been speaking to Lucy.
Recently, I think Southern Water did announce they're investing more money into the area, but it's not really enough. There's still, there's still a storm overflows going on all the time. And, I think the best part of the beginning of the year, so January, February, March, most sea swimmers haven't been able to get into the sea because there's been so many storm overflows and it's not been safe. So, yeah, we want to highlight that. Also, the fact that Dymchurch and Littlestone are still poor rating, which is crazy, second year running, and the Environment Agency of Southern Water haven't discovered what is causing the problem. And it's just appalling. I mean, people rely on, having good quality bathing water, so tourists come and visit. I mean, obviously, Dymchurch, the beach is beautiful, but if you've got no swim signs, you're not going to let your kids go there. I worked as a minister of sewers as part of the Folkestone Triennial last year, which was in the customs house, and it was one of the art installations, but we were collecting evidence about how the water was making people ill. And we had so many people actually who had cancelled holidays in that particular area because they didn't want to go into the water. They didn't want to let their grandchildren go in. So they often rent caravans there, and they won't be doing it because, it's just too risky for their kids. And the other awful thing is that the council folks and Hythe District Council have spent all this money, millions, on new beach hunts in Greatstone. And a lady came in and talked about how she'd, wanted a beach hut all her life. Eventually, these lovely beach huts arrived, but now she's got a beach hut, and if she sits outside it, she just looks straight onto a sign saying no swim. I mean, it's ridiculous. You couldn't make it up.
I know there's a campaign in particular about Mermaid Beach, isn't there, to get that as a designated bathing spot. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm a sea swimmer. I've got three children and two of them have been ill over the few years, so I'd say like last 5 years, after going in the sea. One in Mermaid, and we actually ended up having to go to hospital because he passed out in the car because his temperature went so high. And the other one was just very sick. And anyway, that was down at the Warren. So, the trouble is Sunny Sands is the only one that's actually tested by the Environment Agency, and they only test from May until October. A lot of people, our weather can be very nice in sort of October, November and earlier. So you don't really know what you're swimming in a lot of the time. And so the fact is that Sunny Sands is the only beach that's designated bathing status. So we really want to get Mermaids designated bathing status as well, because people, how popular Folkestone has become, and there's always some newspaper articles saying, oh, Folkestone's the best place to live, and more and more people having lived here for 20 years, I've seen the massive increase of people arriving in the summer on a hot day, and you see them in the sea, and they when it's been raining the day before, and you want to get one of those loudspeakers and say, please don't swim in the sea because it's not safe, but you can't, obviously. And there was no signage. There's no signage anywhere. I think they've put some up on Sunny Sands, but there's certainly no signage at Mermaid Beach, and there's no testing yet. it gets very, very, very busy there from kind of now time up until October.
They're also calling for Mermaid Beach to be given designated bathing status so its water is regularly tested. Meantime, as we head into summer, four beaches in Kent have been given prestigious blue flags. They're awarded to sites with good water quality, safety and overall management. Minnis Bay, Ramsgate Main Sands, Botany Bay and Joss Bay have all been recognised.
Kent Online reports.
The multi-million pound regeneration of part of Sheppey has suffered a setback as medics confirm they no longer plan to move back into a revamped healthy living centre. Around £14 million is being spent on the Beachfields area of Sheerness. Minster Medical Practice moved out of the site to make way for the renovation but have now pulled out of the project. Council bosses are urging them to reconsider. The parents of a young boy from Kent with Tourette syndrome have told the podcast there's a severe lack of support groups available. Seven-year-old Max from Sellinch was diagnosed last year but first started showing signs of tics when he was just three. After being dismissed by a number of GPs, he was seen by a specialist in London. Julia and Mark Collins are now hoping to raise money to set up their own support group.
Max has accepted it a lot more. The doctor was great with Max, great at explaining it to him. He's still a little bit young for any of the therapies, but you know, in a few years, so I'm hopefully he'll be able to do that to help him manage his tics a bit better. But
Also, I was going to say, I think it's given Max the confidence to talk about his condition a bit more. So recently at school, he actually helped with a presentation to his class where the teacher talked about the condition, because as Max's tics were becoming a bit more frequent at school, children were asking questions. And obviously children don't always know about the condition. So the teacher actually gave a presentation, and then some of the children asked Max some questions about some of his tics, and he felt really confident about that. And I think that was a really good step for him to kind of boost his confidence about it and to kind of help teach his friends and the teachers about the condition.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. He'll be an incredible advocate, I'm sure. But as you said, you felt like there wasn't anywhere to turn or people to talk to. And you've also noticed that with support groups as well. We spoke to a man, he's 30, but he was only diagnosed with Tourette's last year. He'd had tics throughout his entire childhood. And he found the same thing. There was no support groups around. And I guess you guys have faced the same barriers, have you?
Yeah, so Tourette's Action have online support groups, but I guess for Max's age, that's kind of not really something that he would get on board with. It's kind of a bit weird online, isn't it? So we've been speaking to, they did have one in Kent, and they said there was a big need for it, but the person unfortunately moved out the area and they haven't been able to do it. So we're in talks to hoping to set one up, but if we set it up, then we have to get the funds to do it as well, so that's why Mark is running the high triathlon.
Yes, yeah. And I think with the support group as well, I think for children especially, it's so important so they can see other children like them. Tics and Tourette's is, I wouldn't say it's a rare condition, but you don't kind of see people with the condition every day out and about. So I think for Max, seeing other children going through what he's going through, talking about their tics and maybe what strategies helps them, I think would be really great for him and other children as well.
And yeah, so it's that one in 100 school children have a diagnosis for it. So obviously a lot are undiagnosed. So just rough estimates, it's probably about 3,000+ children in Kent that have it. And probably need the support and need to know that they're not alone, because it can be really isolating as well for the people who have it, but also the families as well. And it'd just be nice for people to talk to people that actually understand what's going on. And
yeah,
no one's the same with Tourette's, because obviously it changes in seconds and you never know what you're going to get. But it's just not, it would be nice to speak to people who get it.
Mark is going to be doing the Hive Triathlon in a bid to raise funds. And Max has got a message for us too.
Hello, my name's Max. I'm 7 and I have Tourette syndrome. Tourette means I make involuntary sounds and movements called tics. from the 15th of May to the 15th of June is Tourette's Awareness Month.
A £40 million contract to ease pressure on the NHS has been awarded in Medway. The HCRG Care Group will take over from Medway Community Healthcare to alleviate strain on the Maritime Hospital. The funding will help to reduce bed blocking by discharging patients sooner and providing support for people to manage at home. Plans to build homes on part of Saga's headquarters in Sandgate have been revealed. The over 50s travel and insurance company returned to its Embrook Park offices near Folkestone last year after moving out in 2023 due to changing work patterns. But bosses say daily staff numbers have dropped since the COVID pandemic, leaving parts of the site unused.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and a Kent auctioneer who starred on episodes of Homes Under the Hammer has died. Clive Empson started out as an estate agent before setting up his own company. Lucy's been looking back at his career.
The entrepreneurial businessman was at the helm of Clive Empson Land and Property Auctioneers, an empire spanning from Kent to Cornwall. As a child, he attended King's School in Rochester and left at the age of 16 with a couple of O-levels. He then studied at Maidstone Technical College before starting his career as a junior estate agent, earning just £1.50 a week. He launched his first estate agency in Hythe in 1973 and later merged the business with Warden Partners. He went on to start his own auctioneering house, which now has a huge conference centre at the county showgrounds in Detling. The company grew over the years, and Clive's regular appearances on Homes Under the Hammer made him a familiar face with millions of daytime TV viewers. His behind-the-scenes work with various charities also earned him an MBE for services to vulnerable and disadvantaged young people in Kent. Clive passed away on Wednesday peacefully with his family by his side at the age of 79. Funeral arrangements are yet to be finalised.
It's feared plans to reopen Manston Airport could lead to planes flying just a few hundred feet above densely populated areas. Ramsgate Town Council has raised serious concerns amid a consultation into flight paths when the site becomes a cargo hub. Bosses say they're seeking independent expert advice about the possible disruption. A 30-mile stretch of railway in Kent is going to close for 9 days this month. The line from Ashford International to Borough Green and Rootham stations will be shutting tomorrow and won't reopen until after the bank holiday. Work is being carried out around Maidstone East to reduce rock falls and improve drainage. Track also needs replacing between Harrietsham, Lenham and Charing. Meantime, a busy Rainham Road will be closed for several days for waterworks connected to a new housing development. Southern Water will shut part of Lower Rainham Road for 5 days later this month. The closure from Monday the 25th until Friday May the 29th, that's over half term, will affect the section just beyond Berengrave Lane towards Gillingham.
Kent Online News.
A boutique in Gravesend has closed suddenly, with the owner blaming an increase in running costs. Four Girlies has been trading in Stone Street for the past 30 years. It shut down after a 65% increase in rent and rising overheads. Owner Tracy Baker has been speaking to our reporter, Alex Langridge.
People shop online more. They don't shop on the high street. But because we've been going so long, we've got such a fantastic customer base. A lot of people don't want to shop online. So we're catering for them people. We post out all the time. And other people, you know, like people just come from all over. They do. They just visit. They come and visit their friends and they go, we've come here. And they get trains down from London. Because they just, but it's still not enough to pay what he wants to pay. And to sign a great big new lease. And with what's going on in the world and the economy and everything, I don't want to be tied into, not my age. A massive lease, I really don't. So it's very awkward, really. Just gutting, really, because it's just been, after 30 years, I don't want it to end like this. It's just been too quick and it's just all up and all over the place. So it's just not right, really. I just don't think, I wanted to do it gradually. End of August, I'd have been really happy, or even end of May, end of June. And I asked him that. I said, just let me give you a certain amount of money to go to the end of May or the end of June, just to give people time. I've got deliveries. There's probably another delivery can turn up in a minute. Still coming in, we've still got stock, not ready to go.
What's the reaction been?
Devastating. Customers, we've had such a massive response. Put the video out last night explaining it, because I just sort of said to people, I can't talk about it all day because physically I haven't got the time, because we're under so much pressure to go by Friday. So everyone's, we've had, I just checked, 22,000 views already. It's mad. So, and yeah, messages coming through all the time, and lots of offers of help. There's so many offers of help from friends. You definitely see this different side of people when you've got things going on, definitely. So yeah, it's sad, but it won't stop us. Onwards and upwards, girls.
Meantime, an artisan chocolate shop in Kent will become the latest small business to close amid soaring costs and energy prices. Clary's Chocolates, which opened in Broadstairs just 8 months ago, will shut today. Owner Claire Cook says it's no longer sustainable. And Kent's oldest micropub has been sold. The Butcher's Arms in Herne was set up more than 20 years ago. The 17 square metre site has been passed on to a regular customer who's promised to keep it more or less the same.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent will be hoping to make it 3 wins in a row in the county championship as their latest game gets underway today. It follows a 2-wicket victory over Gloucestershire last time out. Durham are the visitors to Canterbury. And in football, just days after signing a new contract at Whitstable Town, Jamie Coyle has quit as manager. He's joining Margate along with assistant Matt Longhurst. The pair won the FA Vars final at Wembley with Whitstable Town last season and also took the Southern Counties East League Premier Division and Kent Senior Trophy this year. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the site today, you can also check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for details of everything going on in the county. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.